The Committee of the Whole will please come to order.
Madam Chairman, privilege of the floor.
Representative Kirkbride.
The Kirkbrides are becoming as prevalent as the Nicholases and the Zwanitzers. I'd like you to meet my great-niece Kayla Kirkbride from Meriden, Wyoming. She's a fourth grader at Burns Elementary School, and she's this afternoon's page of the day.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 41. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 41, as introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to game and fish, adjusting fees for wild bison licenses, limiting the number of wild bison licenses available in a lifetime, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 41, Wild Bison Licenses, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Blevins, Davidson, Freeman, Halverson, Hutchings, Yagi, Crone, Pieperinen, and excused was Representative Gay.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 41 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. And I'll turn the explanation of both of those over to the sponsor of the bill from House District 23.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. So we're going to talk about bison here for a minute. We have three different bison herds in the state of Wyoming. One is up in Yellowstone, which we actually do not have authority over. It's the Northern Yellowstone herd. There's one, a small one near Cody, and then there's the one that we're primarily going to be talking about in this bill, the Jackson Hole herd. The Yellowstone herd is the one you hear about a lot in the news. It's the one that commonly goes across the border into Montana and has caused Montana considerable issues to the point where they spend quite a lot of time and money trying to control that herd. The Jackson Hole herd, when I was a kid, was about 50. There was 50 bison out there. If you came down out on the Grand Teton National Park, you would see about 50. They actually started, the New York Zoological Society had used to keep them in enclosed area right on the Snake River on the Oxbow Bend. And over time, they were released out, and they have grown from that small herd into a much bigger herd now. To the point that 50 that I was talking about has grew all the way to 1,200. So they got up to 1,200. Once they got to 1,200, everyone recognized that we had a very serious problem on our hands, because what happens is the bison herd, the 1,200 bison herd, adversely affects the elk and it adversely affects the National Elk Refuge. Primarily, here's what happens. On the elk refuge, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get the winter forage to grow. They irrigate out there. They try to get the forage to grow so that when the elk move on to the refuge in the wintertime, there is forage for them. Of course, there's not always enough forage, so that's why we do the supplemental feeding. But normally, they don't start the supplemental feeding until well into late January, maybe February. So that's having an adverse effect on the elk. So a management plan was come up with in 2007. The management plan said to go from 1,200 down to 500. So we needed to get the bison herd from 1,200 down to 500. We are presently sitting at around 900. So getting down to 900 is a great thing that we've done. The problem is that we've been sort of stuck for a little bit. because here's what happens. We do some successful hunts, some years not as successful. This year was a successful hunt. We had 200 bison taken. That's great. That's a good number. The problem is they will be calving this spring, and there'll be quite a lot more than that. So what happens is we take them down, they repopulate what we took, and then add a few. So we need to be knocking them down a little quicker to get to the 500 number. So a lot of different ideas have been bandied about as to how to do it. Probably the biggest problem, and it's one that we can't fix here, here's what happens with the bison herd. The Gros Ventre River sort of splits the valley now at that in that area east-west. If the bison are north of the Gros Ventre River, they are protected within Grand Teton National Park. When they come south of the Gros Ventre River, they are in the elk refuge, and they may be shot through the hunt. And the hunt goes from August through January. The problem is the bison get really smart. They see that a few of their buddies fell down, and they run all back across the Gros Ventre River, and they hang out north of the river. That's actually, some of that is actually good because it keeps them off the winter forage, but we're still not getting enough hunted. So some of the ideas to try and see how we can increase the number of this hunt are in this bill. If we are unable to start controlling these numbers better with a hunt, we may have to start having some of the discussions like they have in Montana, which we certainly do not want to have. So what this bill does is does two things. One is it deals with the fees that you pay for the license. It also changes how often you can come and hunt for a bison. So let me deal with the fees first. What the committee did, and this is in the standing committee amendment, is they left it at $400 for what's called an any wild bison license. An any license is either a bull or a cow-calf. So either you're going for a bull or you're going for a cow-calf. So in any license, you can choose. Most people that get an any license is going to shoot a bull. That's what they're going to do. So that stays at $400 for an any license. But if you're just wanting a cow-calf, and that's a separate type of license, a cow-calf, then it's $250. And these are for residents. $400 for an any license, $250 for a cow-calf. Then for non-resident, it stays at $2,500 for an any license, but then we bring it down to $1,000 for a cow-calf. So what we're trying to do by doing that part of it is to encourage more people to come and hunt the bison. The second thing this bill does, and that you'll see this in subsection F, and there's going to be actually a committee of the whole amendment on F that I'll bring here in a second that Game and Fish brought me that fixes some of the problems that we found in committee. But what F, the intent of F is this. Right now, you can only shoot one bison per lifetime. So in your lifetime, you shoot one, you're done. The problem is, those are sort of the hunters we want to keep coming back because they're good at what they do. We want those hunters. We want the ones that actually can kill. So what we're trying to do is encourage them to come back, but they've gotten their one, they can't come back. So what this bill does is allow you on a cow-calf to come back every 5 years. On a bull, you would still be stuck with the once-in-a-lifetime. But on a cow-calf, you can come back every 5 years and shoot. That's the impetus of the bill. And, Madam Chairman, if you want to look at the standing committee amendment first, and then we'll talk about the committee of the whole amendment.
You have heard the motion of the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The standing committee amendment number one has been adopted. We are back in the bill. Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move committee of the whole amendment number one. And what this does is replaces the F section on page two. And it does what I was just telling you it does. So there's a few different scenarios. Let's say if you get an any license allows you to shoot a bull or a cow-calf. If you get the license and then you're successful in harvesting a bull, you can never shoot another bull ever. Okay, so it stays that way. But you can go for a cow-calf license the next season. If you had any wild license and you got a cow-calf, you might ask, well, why would you do that? If you have an any license, why would you do a cow-calf? You may not actually see a bull. What happens is a lot of times the bulls will come across, or the bulls will stay on the other side of the river and the cow-calves will come across and you're tired of waiting, so you have that option. But if you did, you got an any license and you shot a cow-calf, you can't get another cow-calf for 5 years. But you can go for an any license. And then if you obtained a cow-calf license and you were successful in harvesting a cow-calf, you have to wait 5 years to do a cow-calf, but you can go for an any license the next season. That makes sense. And I would stand for any questions on Committee of the Whole, and if there are none, I'd ask for your favorable vote on that.
Is there any discussion on the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1? Okay. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill. Is there any discussion on the bill? Are you... Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Davison's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 41 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 41 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 24.
House Bill number 24, as introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to probate, amending maximum values for certain proceedings relating to probate of estates, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee, number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 24, probate amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, Watt.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Gingery?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 24 do pass, and I would turn over the explanation of the bill to the Speaker.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I bring to you House Bill 24. About 2 years ago, the President of the Senate brought a bill. What we have is when we have probates, we have a process for small estates and larger estates. And the larger estate process is time-consuming, it's expensive, and it requires lots and lots of procedural hoops to be jumped through. The short-form process, as we call it, makes things a lot easier. For estates $200,000 or less, we have a short-form process. 2 years ago, we amended some of the short-form processes, but left out three of them. This bill is a technical correction to raise the limits from $150,000, which we did 2 years ago, on some of the short-form process, but left out three, to $200,000. So 2 years ago, we had, in our short-form process, raised the limits to some of the $200,000 estates. This just fixes the ones that we left out in the bill 2 years ago, and I urge your support.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Okay. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 24 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 24 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 51.
House Bill number 51, as introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to probate, specifying a time for filing objections to the appointment of specified persons, providing exceptions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1 Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 51, Probate Objections to Appointment, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Legislators who voted aye are Baker, Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watt.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Gingrey?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 51 do pass, and I turn over the explanation to the Speaker.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. House Bill 51, it was brought to me by a local district court judge. When you do the probate process, there are times that you have hearings for appointments of people. If nobody objects, then they just set what's called a ghost hearing, and you have the hearing, and nobody shows up, and the judge just signs the order appointing people. If somebody does object, you have to line up witnesses and have a whole dog and pony show. There come occasions where you may think somebody would object, and they don't, and you've lined up all the witnesses and inconvenienced everybody. What the judge suggested is if somebody's going to object to an appointment 5 days prior to the hearing, unless good cause is shown to the judge that can be waived, which is the last sentence of the bill, 5 days prior to the hearing, you just file an objection so everybody knows that you're going to object to the appointment so that you don't have to line up the witnesses and inconvenience everybody. It's an efficiency measure. I'd urge your support.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 51 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 51 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 43.
House Bill Number 43, as introduced by Representative Greer, an act relating to crimes and offenses, providing that a person is guilty of a misdemeanor if he leaves the vicinity of a burning fire as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill Number 43, failure to extinguish or contain a fire, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye are Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingrey, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watt. Excused was Halverson.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Gingrey?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 43 do pass, and I turn over the explanation to the representative from House District 27.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. House Bill 43, I bring to you, apparently this is a year of archaic language that we are trying to clean up. This has been on the books for a long time. I would not bring a new crime to this body. I'm just trying to clean up an old one. What we have is a correction. old language in this statute, which is a misdemeanor for basically leaving a fire unattended and in which other damage is caused, it had the old language of any woods or on any prairie. I happen to come from an area in which a judge determined was neither. And so we felt as if it would be good to clean up the statute so that it was lights a fire outside of any structure and leaves the vicinity of the fire without extinguishing the fire or taking appropriate action to reasonably ensure that the fire is contained. Just a small adjustment to bring it into, I guess, what would be the modern terms and to close up a loophole for those prosecuting attorneys who don't live in the woods or on a prairie here in the state. I'll take any questions.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a question and clarity.
the way this is written, it says leaves the vicinity of a fire without certain actions. And I've had a cabin on the mountain, and we have a barbecue out there, and I'd light the fire, and then when we have kids around, we'd let them play in the trees and that sort of thing, and I wouldn't necessarily be around there. Would I be subject to this? It was pretty well contained, and I could make that argument, but wind comes up and things happen. What liability would I have had?
Representative Greer.
Madam Chairman, for my good chairman of minerals, a tremendous no. No, and that's what we're looking at, is a fire that has started outside, as long as it was in a fire pit and you've taken reasonable steps. It's why we've left that language in there. In getting this ready, there was some discussion. I was being asked to maybe have it more of a strict liability situation. I feel that the language that we have, you would be covered in that scenario. It's in a barbecue or an enclosed pit. You've taken steps that a reasonable person would do to make sure that it was contained.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question. Page 2, line 2, taking appropriate action. Is there a definition for appropriate?
Representative Greer.
Madam Chairman, no, there's not. There are certain things in this world. Appropriate action is that action reasonably to, and again, we look back to what a reasonable person would do in reasonable circumstances. We try to legislate those all the way through. We run into 60-page bills.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 43 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 41 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 8 is introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to child protective services, amending the mandatory requirement to report child abuse and neglect, amending penalties for failure to report and for false reporting, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill Number 8, Child Abuse Reporting Requirements, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye are Representatives Connolly, Gingrey, Halverson, Crone, and Walters. Those who voted no were Representatives Baker, Croker, Miller, and Watt.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Gingrey?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 8 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And let me go through and explain this bill real quick to you. So we have on the books a requirement that everyone must report child abuse if you observe it. And what it reads as today is any person who knows or has reasonable cause to believe or suspect that a child has been abused or neglected, or who observes any child being subjected to conditions or circumstances that would reasonably result in abuse or neglect, shall immediately report. That's what's on the books. What's interesting, we have a crime. Right after that, you'll see that there is a penalty for false reporting. There's actually no penalty for not reporting. So even though we say everybody needs to report, then there's no penalty. The only reason this came up was that a few years ago, a former speaker on this floor, he did a bill called, it was Adult Protective Services. And in that bill, we made it the law that you must report elder abuse of vulnerable adults if you see it. And if you don't, there is a penalty. And the question that was posed to me was, why did the legislature decide that there should be a penalty for not reporting elder abuse, but we did not create a penalty for not reporting child abuse? So that was the impetus of bringing the bill. So then once we got into committee, quite a lot of people had a lot of suggestions, and the committee, rightfully so, took those recommendations. One of those recommendations was, if you look on page 1 of the bill, in that whole subsection A in 14 through 17, you see there where I was crossing out reasonable cause to believe or suspect, and then I was inserting sufficient knowledge which a prudent and cautious person. That was the language that we had used over in Adult Protective Services. I thought it was a little clearer language. Turns out, though, that the federal law requires, and if we don't have it on the books, we lose like $850,000 was the testimony. We have to have the words believe or suspect, because that's what's in the federal law. So I couldn't do that. So what the Standing Committee Amendment does, all the changes that I made to subsection A all came out. Okay, so through the Standing Committee Amendment, all of those come out of the bill. And it goes back to the language that's already there. So if you're reading subsection A and that sufficient knowledge and prudent and cautious and all of that, none of that, if the Standing Committee goes through, none of that would be there, which is good. That's fine, because we don't want to lose that money. So that's the first thing that changed. The second thing that we had the long discussion about was, when you're saying any person has to report, and so any person has to report, well, now if there's a penalty, will people be more apt to, well, I'm not sure if that really was child abuse, but boy, I better go report it because I don't want to get charged with a crime. So what we did to fix that was what many states have moved toward is what's called mandatory reporters. Mandatory reporters are people that have been trained, who know what to look for with child abuse. Those people would be the only people subjected to a penalty of any type. And the mandated reporters, if you look on the Standing Committee Amendment, subsection F, they're defined there. They're people in law enforcement, child care providers, child protection services, educational institution, and health care providers. Those would be the only people that would be mandatory. So what the bill does, or the Standing Committee does, on page 1, line 14, after the word any, it puts in any mandated reporter or other. So what we read is any mandated reporter or other person who knows or has reasonable cause to believe or suspect. So what that does is everyone's still going to have to report child abuse if they see it. But the only people that would ever be penalized for not reporting would be the mandatory reporters. And that's what the Standing Committee Amendment does, and I would urge you to vote yes on the Standing Committee Amendment.
You have heard the motion of the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Is there any discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 8 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. The chair is no longer in doubt. House Bill 8 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 17. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 17,
House Bill 17 is introduced by the School Facilities Committee, an act relating to school capital construction, prescribing methodology for the analysis of enrollment projections as used in prioritization of facility remedies by the School Facilities Commission, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 17, School Capital Construction - Enrollment Methodology, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye are Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Piperinen, Summers, and Teeters.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Teeters?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 17 do pass. And the bill will be explained by the good Chairman of the Select Committee on School Facilities.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Madam Chair. Ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 17 is the work of our Select School Facilities. We have a couple bills that will be before you this session. This will be the first that really it goes into the statutes on page 1, 21, 15, 1, 16, which is really the planning piece for our school facilities. All our school districts go through annual and five-year planning process, and that's collaboration approved by the state. And then also on page 3, the second statute affected is 21-15-117, which is the annual evaluation and really about when we get into building schools or remedies for schools. Really, if you'll flip to page 3 of the bill where the new language is at, and on page 3, line 6, it changes Romanet 1, that paragraph in the statute. Really, there's a couple factors that affect the size of school buildings now that the state is involved in determining where and when and and those kind of things. And I won't go into all the history, but when the legislature first took over building schools, there were certain pipeline schools that we discussed and appropriated on this floor. And they just kind of, we built them at the size that they said they needed, and frankly, we built them pretty large. And since then, with the adoption of the commission and all the work over the last 10 years on this, by this body and the cooperation at the other end of this building, and we've got a pretty decent system. Now, there's always a lot of work and there's a lot of discussion, but as far as the factors that affect the size of your school, really it's the population of the school, which this bill gets to, the population of the school. And then another bill will talk about utilization factors, how much your school is used during the day, each room. But talking about the population of the school, it's so important because it's all based on projections. And this has been a moving target in the history of the state building schools. And more recently, it was really kind of left up to the director, and many of the projections were based really on the point of appropriation. And what we found over the last few years, we've been building our schools pretty tight. And some of our new schools, and some of you are in your districts, they're already full. And we build a school that's less than 5 years old, and they're already full. And so there's a point where you don't want to build them too big. There's some in our state we have in those pipeline days. We don't want to build them too small, and it's kind of that Goldilocks thing. We want to have it just right and allow for a little bit of growth and to be accurate with our projections. So what this does is a policy decision by this body that says our districts and the state, this is the starting point, that the size of your school will be determined on a population projection 5 years from the anticipated completion of the project. So 5 years from when you open the doors to your elementary school in your community, 5 years from that opening is when that projection will be cast. Now, on lines 11 through 15, members, there's some language that allows the district and the state to work together to adjust those projections to more finely tune them, so to speak. There might be a large corporation move into a small community with 50 new jobs. That will change the population of your school. And so the converse might be true as well. So that allows for that more deliberate and fine-grained look at that. So with that, I won't over-talk this bill, and I'd stand for any questions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Okay, question having been called. All those in favor of Chairman Teeter's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 17 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 17 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution number 1. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution number 1, as presented by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to remove any mandatory retirement age for Supreme Court justices and judges of other courts in Wyoming. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution number 1, Mandatory Judicial Retirement, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye are Representative Baker, Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watt.
You have heard the reading in the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Gingery?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Joint Resolution 1 do pass, and I do further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And I'll just tell you that real quick. We were just doing some cleanup language on page 3, line 1, and this is what would go on the ballot. We took out the word remove, after the word remove, we took out the word the, and we stuck in the word any. And I'd ask you to vote favorably on the Standing Committee Amendment.
You have heard the motion of the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and I'll turn over the explanation to the good gentleman from Laramie County.
Representative Swanser.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I am pleased to present to the body the first joint resolution of the year. And this is a joint resolution to amend the Wyoming Constitution that removes the mandatory retirement age for Wyoming judges. The Constitution currently sets the mandatory retirement age at age 70, and currently 33 other states do have a provision with a mandatory retirement age, 17 do not. Of those 33 states that do have a mandatory age limit, 70 is the minimum, 90 is the maximum, and the maximum is in the maple syrup state to the East Coast. Six of these states of the 33 have a mandatory retirement age of 75, including our neighbors, the Sunflower State, the Show Me State, the Lone Star State, the Beehive State, and the Evergreen State. What this constitutional amendment does is allow the legislature to set the age limit in statute. It removes the mandatory age limit from the Constitution altogether. My neighboring desk mate has a separate bill that will attempt to set the mandatory retirement age in Wyoming statute, but we do have to change the Constitution first. This is an old friend to the body. It passed out of here unanimously last year, and we had some difficulty with the other body if there should be an age limit whatsoever or no age limit at all, or a set age. I think 2 years ago when I got up and presented this, I reminded the body that 25% of the membership at that time were over the mandatory retirement age of 70 in the legislature, and that started the frenzy. So we're a little bit of a younger body this year, but I think we all heard in the majority floor leader's speech when we got inaugurated that this was a thing that this body needs to look at. We heard it in the State of the Judiciary speech as well. And so what we're proposing this year is a two-part process. The first is this joint amendment, this joint resolution to amend the Constitution to take out a mandatory age limit, and then there will be a subsequent bill that we can discuss on what perhaps that age limit should be. So I'd be happy to discuss the amendment or answer any questions.
Representative Nicholas.
Again, I just rise in favor of the bill. We battled this a little bit ago. And we got bogged down in whether it should be 74, 75, or 76. The general proposition is that we need to put a new age limit on it. It ought to be raised, and it's just a question of how much. So I was just moving. If you have any questions about it, I'd be happy to answer it. But I support the bill.
Is there other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Joint Resolution Number 1 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Joint Resolution Number 1 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Madam Chairman, I move the Standing Committee rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg to leave report as follows. House Bill 79, recommended do pass. House Bill Number 2, amended and recommended do pass. House Bill Number 9, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 52, amended, recommended do pass. Representative Kasperic moved that the Committee of the Whole rise and sit again. House Bill Number 41, amended, and further amended. Recommended do pass. House Bill 24, recommended do pass. House Bill 51, recommended do pass. House Bill 43, recommend do pass. House Bill 8, amended and recommended do pass. House Bill 17, recommended do pass. House Joint Resolution Number 1, amended, recommended do pass. Signed by Chairman Representative Kasperic.
Representative Kasperic.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the report of the Committee of the Whole.
You have heard the motion. All in favor of adoption of the Committee of the Whole report, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. We're now on that order of business of messages from the governor and or the Senate.
Message number 106. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 33, search and rescue program donation, ayes 29, noes 1. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 107. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 41, State Parks-ATM donation, ayes 25, noes 5. Sincerely, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 108. Mr. Speaker, the bills indicated below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 43, State Parks Acquisition of Lands. The ayes 28, noes 2. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 109. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 44, First Responder Retirement Account Payment Rules. Ayes 30, noes 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 110. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 46, Protecting Veteran Disability Compensation in Divorce. Ayes 29, noes 1. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 111. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 45, Restricted Driver's License Modification. Ayes 22, noes 8. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We're at that order of business of reports from the reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 4, Brands, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye are Representative Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Semlich, Winters, and Dan Swanenser was excused.
We're at that order of business of committee announcements. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 7:30, room H18, to consider House Bill 6, Solid Waste Disposal District Board Terms, House Bill 65, Municipal Solid Waste Landfill Remediation, and House Bill 66, Municipal Solid Waste Facilities.
Chairman Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6 will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to cover House Bill 81, Large Project Funding, House Bill 122, Alcoholic Beverages Purchases, Acceptable Identification. Thanks.
Chairman Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet at 10 minutes after adjournment today in House H-17 to discuss the following bills. House Bill 100, Vehicle Registration Fees, Assistive Devices. House Bill 107, Unlawful Use of Liquefied Gas Containers. And House Bill 92, Interference with Emergency Calls.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet tomorrow, 10 minutes after adjournment in room H-17 to discuss House Bills 108, 93, and 94.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, can I have privilege of the floor, please?
Certainly.
Mr. Speaker, members of the body, I just wanted to make an announcement. You'll find in your inbox an announcement for the Capital Commission Bible study that we have on Wednesday mornings at 6:30 over in the basement of the Herschler building, and this is something that we've been doing for a number of years, and we'll do every Wednesday during the session, and breakfast is provided, so I hope as many of you as can will join us.
Mr. Majority Floor, Representative Chairman Harvey, do you have anything? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, your Rules Committee number 12 will meet today upon adjournment to consider three bills, House Bill 49, Legislature Certificates of Attendance, House Bill 50, Distribution of Bills, and House Bill 57, Constituent Service Allowance.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. Speaker, general file bills for tomorrow, House Bill 101, House Bill 4, others to be announced in the morning. After the noon recess, the first bill after noon recess will be House Bill 69. And, Mr. Speaker, with that, I move that the House adjourn until 10 o'clock tomorrow, January 16, 2013.
You have heard the motion. All in favor of adjourning until Wednesday, January 16, 2013, at 10 a.m., please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.